गुड मॉर्निंग सर।
गुड मॉर्निंग। आई थिंक इट्स 10 o'clock ने मॉर्निंग
मॉर्निंग छे गुड
पर्सन। गुड मॉर्निंग। आई
मॉर्निंग
थिंक
सर।
गुड मॉर्निंग। आई थिंक वी कैन स्टार्ट विद द मीटिंग। गुरुला को Can you fly the agenda so that we can start? It's
Okay, sure.
almost 10 o'clock. The agenda ready? Good morning, members. I think that the agenda, you can all see the agenda. The agenda is on the screen.
Yes, you can.
We can also, okay. Thank you very much. So let me start by welcoming you all. Let me just start by opening the meeting and welcome you all in this meeting. You are most welcome. Then even the we are most welcome, and then with the participation of us all is to make sure that we I don't think we are going to take long, because as we see the our agenda, it has got two items. And then it's opening apologies, adoption of the committee report on the Municipal Fiscal Powers and Functions Amendment Bill. And then the fourth item is briefing by Sasria. The fifth item is committee interaction. The sixth item is closure. I don't think we're going to take long. Maybe let me, as I've already opened the meeting and welcome you all, we just have to go straight to item number two, which is apologies. Nkululeko,
Yes, Chair.
apologies.
Yes, Chair. Good morning, Chair, to members and everyone. We have an apology from Honorable Okam, another one from Mr. Ryder, who will be joining us late. Just received another message now from Mr. Du Toit, who is having a connection problem, who had to exit the meeting, will probably join us late. Thanks, Chair. Or in the platform currently, we have 4 members as things stand, Chair.
Do we have a quorum?
Which is another thing, Chairperson, we do not have a quorum as yet. If I may, Chair, can I propose that we start with the briefing by Sasria? Mr. Ryder, as he said, he will be joining us late. With Mr. Ryder joining and Mr. Du Toit, then we will have a quorum. Then we can adopt the report before we close the meeting.
Okay.
Is it okay, all members, that we pass the third term and then we go straight to the fourth term, which is the briefing of Caesarea? Do we all agree?
Agreed, Jay.
That's acceptable, Jay.
Okay, thank you very much. On item number four, which is briefing by Caesarea, maybe let me find out as to whether who are the delegates, and then who's leading that delegation. If I may find out.
Good morning, Honorable Chair. My name is Mpumi Kikwe. I'm the CEO of Sasria. We are being led by various chairs of the subcommittees of SADRIA. I would like to extend our apology from our chairperson of the board, Mr. Mosungwa Sheng. He is traveling, he is landing at OR Tambo any minute from now, from the UK. And he had anticipated that his flight might get delayed. And then he organized that the various chairs of our committees join us, the entire executive team of SADRIA in this presentation. So first, I have the chair of audit, Mayor Margaret Pirin. We also have got the chair of REMCO, Mayor Mantuka Maisela. Got the chair of risk, Mr. Reginald Hammond. And then there is also going to be a chair of the investment committee, Dr. Nolwandle Mgodwe, who will stay in the meeting for an hour because she has got, she had another prior commitment. Thank you, Madam Chair. I will take, I'll wait your further instructions.
Okay, thank you very much for the introduction of the team. So I will just have to say, be fair, you are going to lead the presentation. It may continue.
Thank you, ma'am. I will ask Sister Izzy to share the presentation. Just for the sake of time, Honorable Chair, how much time do we have to do the presentation? We have about 55 slides, and yes, and you know, we try to cover just about every angle that you might be interested in. So I just wanted to know what's the allocated time for the presentation, so that I can we can pace ourselves accordingly. Honorable Chair.
No. Okay, thank you very much. I think that the hour time is from now 10 o'clock up until 1 o'clock. The only problem is we are going to have a plenary at 2 o'clock. And then some of other members, maybe they might be traveling with the bus, and the bus is at 12:30. So if you can be brief to all those 55 slides so that we cannot drag up until after the time, so that we can be able to present all the 55 slides. Thank you very much. May proceed.
Thank you, ma'am. With that, basically what I'm going to cover is the evolution of SADRIA. And then the last slide will deal with the looking ahead. Next slide, Sister Stacey. Next one. So SADRIA was established in 1979 post the youth uprising in 1976. It was a Section 21 company. At that stage, it didn't pay tax or dividends to government. It was created because of the fact that the private sector no longer wanted to insure what was then called a terrorist act. And the state had to assume that risk just like everywhere else in the world. So government became the reinsurer of the last resort of all SADRIA related perils. In 1989, the mandate of SADRIA was extended to include non-political risks. And then thereafter in 1998, there was a SADRIA Conversion Act, which basically enabled SADRIA from that day to be established as a state-owned company, 100% owned by the state. And from that period, it was able to pay taxes and dividends. In total, SADRIA has paid in combination of taxes and dividends close to 16 billion rands to the state. And then basically July 2021, was a defining moment for the company when we had those particular protests that lasted just under 10 days. And we incurred claims close to 32 billion rand. That's what we know now, with the benefit of having settled most of the claims and adjusted the various amounts that we had to pay. Sasria wouldn't have been able to meet its liabilities were not it for the assistance that we got from government, which we received a cash injection of 22 billion rand. Next slide. These are the perils that Sasria covers. So these are the only events that were allowed by the Reinsurance Act that Sasria can insure. Anything else going forward, if we were to insure it, it will require that there is a change in the legislation itself. So things like that face South Africa in the future, things like pandemics, things like currently we're experiencing challenges with floods. You'll have seen, for instance, in the agricultural sector, we've got the avian flu that is affecting birds, poultry farming. So all those things will require an element of legislation to be changed. Just to give you a quick update on July 2021. As I said, that event happened over 10 days. And in that period, it's already a well-established fact now that if the security cluster had responded as quickly as it normally would have done with other protests, the claims wouldn't have accumulated to be 32 billion rand. We would have been looking at close to half that specific amount. So what that bar chart shows you is the amounts that Sasria had to pay for each day there was a delay for the security establishment to intervene. In fact, even though the president deployed the security on the Monday, on the fourth day of the event, to really calm it down, it was efforts by communities and also the taxi industry, where people started saying this should stop now. It should no longer happen in our name. Next slide. So these slides, as I had shared in our previous presentation on May 11 last year, just demonstrates how we have spent the 22 billion rand cash injection that we got from the state and the various levels that responded to the totality of the claims that we had experienced. Next slide. This slide shows you that, as you can see, there are two tables. The first table deals specifically with just the claims we experienced during July 2021 over those 10 days. So currently we have paid 97% of those claims, and we've paid an amount close to 30.7 billion rands. That's what Sasria has had to pay. And in total number of claims, we had 17,234 claims. We have 819 million rands that we still have to pay. The delay in the payment of those claims, which is normal when you've had a CAT event, a catastrophic event of this magnitude, some are being delayed because those buildings are still under construction. Some we have some form of legal disputes with them, and they have to go through a court process. So only 3% of those claims remain unpaid. And the honorable members will note that insofar as claims under 2 million, we've all paid just at 98% of those small businesses' claims that had to be. The bottom table shows you the ordinary claims that Sasria would have handled over and above the catastrophic event. You know, the normal claims that Sasria handles in any one year, you will see That year, we had to deal with 3,772 of such claims. On average, generally, over the years, SASRIA deals with 3,000 claims. We have built in capacity within SASRIA to handle 4,000 claims. So the 17,000 claims that we got for the July were basically beyond our design insofar as the number of claims that we had to handle. So it did create some administrative problems and some administrative challenges. And one of the questions that you had raised was around a fruitless and wasteful expenditure, which was driven mainly by the fact that we identified at a later stage that there were claims that we paid twice. Once we recognized those claims that we paid twice, we then started recovering those monies from the insureds. Hence, you'll have seen an increase in our fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Next slide. This basically shows you the losses generally by class of business. So it's the CAT claims, as you can see, still 17,589 claims, having paid 30.7 billion rands. So it's the same slide, but it shows you like we had to pay business interruption BI claims, conduct at works. Some homeowners also experienced losses. Personal vehicles, we had about 1,126 clients whose personal vehicles were affected during that period. Next slide. So this really shows, you know, we are showing here two buildings. These were malls. The first mall on your left is a mall in Edendale in Pietermaritzburg. We are showing you, you know, the reconstruction of that mall. It has since reopened after the destruction that you will see on the bottom right corner of your slide. I mean, when this mall was torched, the people came with special chemicals to start the fire. They switched off the sprinkler systems in the building to make sure that there is no form of intervention, and the fire started. The other mall is in Iguamashu, Bridge City, which was also reopened about 3 months ago. If you were to look at the jobs that are in those malls that were saved because SASRIA was in a position to pay those claims, we're looking at job numbers close to 7,000 people. You can imagine the indirect benefit that it has. So this just shows you, you know, the impact that SASRIA has had on those particular communities. Next slide, please. So now I'm going to share with you the company performance. Really, you can see where how we have performed versus our KPIs over the years. And there was a dip in March 2022. We started recovering in 2023. We are in a better position now, in the first quarter of this year. We are currently sitting at 95%. And I'll just give you a breakdown of those KPIs in the subsequent slide. Next slide, Sister Daisy. So this shows you, you know, how our KPIs are structured and how they are weighted and how do we get to the percentage that we offer. You would see basically the weightings are well spread, where we look at issues of financial performance of the company. So the numbers like gross return premium, loss ratio will speak to the financial performance of the company. We also focus on the client. Insofar as the client is concerned, we look at the claims that are overturned by the OST, the number of complaints that we received either via website or social media, or even those that the clients write to us. We also focus on operational efficiency of the business, that we do not incur unnecessarily cost in running the business. We do look at governance as well, Hence, we've got the PFMA submissions and unqualified audit opinion, and how do we resource the staff. So it's quite we look at a couple of things when we set out our strategic objectives. And as I said, in the year 2022-2023, we achieved 65%. What is remarkable, though, is that one of the questions that were asked is whether our premiums are growing. You will see, which will be confirmed by the next slide, that our premiums grew by 48%. Can we go to the next slide, Sister? These are the KPIs for the 2023-2024 year, and there we are currently sitting at 95%, as Elia shared with you. Next slide, Sister. So you will see from this gross return premium for the year 2022-2023, when the integrated report is tabled in Parliament and reported to you, you will see that the premiums went up from 3.1 billion to currently sit at 4.6 billion, which represents a growth of 48%. That growth came from a combination of things. The most dominant one is that we implemented premium increases because of the losses that we had experienced in July 2021. We will, when the integrated report is tabled before Parliament, is still being considered by the Minister of Finance, we will report that SASRIA has turned around from a loss of 24 billion rand in prior year. We are now sitting with a profit of 3.6 billion. Compared to the loss that we made, that 3.6 billion is not substantial enough. So we have to make profit over a number of years for us to remain, to get to a position where we've wiped up the loss that we made in July 2021. And it is important to remind the honorable members that what was built from 1979, so over 42 years up to July 2021, was literally destroyed in 10 days. So yet 42 years of work destroyed in 10 days. So as we go forward, we are making a certain submission to our executive authority in various proposals where we need to look at SASRIA and make sure that it builds reserves for the coming years, because we are likely, and it's possible, it's probable, that we'll have another big event within the next 6 to 8 years. But having said that, as much as the prior year we had made the biggest loss in SASRIA's history, the following year we've made the biggest profit in SASRIA's history. Because as you can see on the bar chart on the right, our highest profit before that was an amount of 2 billion rand. So SASRIA needs some time for it to build up its reserves so that we can respond to an event that will be of the magnitude that we experienced during July 2021. Next slides, please. These are just the highlights which I emphasized basically on the numbers that I've presented before. Next slide, Sister. And here we are giving the honorable members really a breakdown of our premiums, the expenses that we are running in the business, and the profit that we make before tax and after tax. Next slide, Sister. This goes into detail as to where we were in quarter two of last year, and the next slide will confirm the profit that I shared with you. Next slide, Sister. Yes, that I shared with you of what we made by year end, that is year closing March 2023. Thank you, Sister. Next slide. So from a governance and audit point of view, really SASRIA has had a clean audit. We've got a very highly effective board, which brings in a diversity of skills within it. The management is keeping its eye on the ball. And yes, we are a going concern. And as I had previously stated, is that historically, Sasria has been in a position to pay dividends and taxes close to 16 billion rand. One of the things that we are proposing is that we suspend the paying of dividends so that Sasria can reach a certain level of reserves to deal with a significant event going forward. We do have an SMD team where we engage various stakeholders. And I think for us going forward, we need to go beyond our traditional stakeholders, which are normally situated around the insurance industry. SAIA is an insurance association. FIA is the intermediary association. We want to reach out to communities, to the taxi industries, and various formations in the communities to preach the message that when communities rightfully protest, it is really not necessary for us to destroy the infrastructure whilst we are protesting. There should be other ways that we could express our frustrations other than destroying infrastructure. This shows you the breakdown of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. As I had already explained, we had one involving claims costs where we had duplicated payments, and then we did various recoveries. We did get some tax penalties as well, where we had paid SARS late because of our misinterpretation of the tax laws. We have taken corrective measures for that. We now in a position where we better understand the tax regime that manages SASRIA. In particular, for instance, you know, previously, because we have never had a CAT claim of that magnitude, we were not au fait with doing reinsurance claims. So SARS said that we had paid the VAT late in one of our reinsurance payments. We had made representations to SARS, and in certain parts, in fact, in most instances, they did remit the penalties and so on. But we did still pay overall an amount of 2.8 million because SARS felt that this was not the first incident that we had experienced with them. Next slide, please. Really, this speaks to the current year's financials. We are currently doing well. The loss ratios are low. This is the first quarter of this year, and we are going to show you what is happened in the second quarter just briefly. Next slide. This is financial performance where we are comparing ourselves against June 2022. You will see that already again, our premiums are in the first quarter of this financial year, 29.5% higher than the year before. So we are getting those premium increases through. We've got a fantastic net underwriting result, which once combined with the investment income because of the own funds we have under management and so on, we are able to make a profit in a quarter of 918 million. We become profitable when claims are low. Next slide. Thanks, Sister Stacey. So this graph really shows you what we call the loss ratio. The magic number, if the loss ratio is below 55%, it means Sasria is making a profit. If that amount is above 55%, it means that Sasria is making, let me qualify the profit, it's making an underwriting loss. We're either making an underwriting profit or an underwriting loss, which means simply in simple terms that the premiums that we are getting is enough to pay our claims and our costs, and there is some money left in the kitty if we make an underwriting profit, or there is less money in the Kitty, if we are making an underwriting loss. The other part of our income is investment income. As we have these funds, these reserves that we are building up, we do invest that money and it gives us a form of an investment return. You can see from this graph that Sasria is what we call a low frequency but high severity business. So the 1 year where we have a claim, that claim would be a big claim. So for instance, if we were to look at 2018, 2019, where our loss ratio is sitting at 64%, those were the fees must fall claims. So that's why our loss ratio, and that's why we made a loss that particular year. The July 2021 event, in fact, you know, we'll speak about it for a number of years, as much as we speak about 1976 for different reasons. The loss ratio from an insurance point of view was 1,056%. It's truly unprecedented. And in fact, it received attention globally. It's reported globally as one of the big losses that the insurance industry experienced that year in the world. Next slide. So here, what I'm trying to show you, events that perhaps are in the members' minds, you know, if you recall, we had some truck touchings during the month of July, where it looked like they're gonna be widespread. We all know by now that they were quite well coordinated. There were people behind those truck touchings. From a claims point of view, we've currently received 12 claims to the amount of 10.3 million rands, or let's call it 10.4 million rands. The student protests, when NSFAS bungled the payment of the various allowances to students, and they started protesting with the change over in the way that they pay students. We've had 20 incidents recorded, and currently we are looking at an amount of 13.3 million rands. In Cape Town, the taxi strike that I'm sure members will have experienced and are familiar with, currently we have received a total claims there of an amount of 35.6 million. But generally, where our claims are currently coming from in the current year are the heavy commercial vehicles. Once in a while, that particular industry, there are various forms of coordinated attacks that happen to the trucks as they deliver goods in our various parts of the country. Next slide, please. Yeah, I think the correct characterization of this slide is the funds that currently, our own funds that we have under management. And those are the funds that we have that we invest. If the members recall, I just referred that another form of income that we have is investment income. This comes out of us investing those monies. You can see past March 2023 how now it's been growing upwards, driven by a combination of premium increases, which means we're getting high cash, and also lower claims volumes in this particular year. So we are currently sitting at 12 billion. So let me just remind then the members, let's go back. In July 2021, we were sitting with claims of 31 billion. So those own funds are still quite far from what we would like them to be for us to be able to deal with a future event. So we would like to build them to at least 30 billion, and we'll need 6 years to do that. This next slide, basically, I think one of the questions that the members are going to ask us, and in anticipation of that question, what we are trying to show you is, in the first column, is if we have a catastrophic event in any 1 year, what does it mean from a Sasria point of view? This illustration, we had to do it when we're looking at the impact that a grid failure, a complete grid failure of Eskom could have on the business. And if reinsurers exclude it, exclude, that means that they don't give us cover should there be a grid failure in South Africa. We do get cover when there is load shedding, but they will exclude cover if there is grid failure. And you can see the magic number is that if our the CAT event is sitting at 5.8 billion. So if we were to receive something close to 6 billion rands of claims, then effectively our SCR will drop below 100%. And we will need, which is the number you have on the extreme right column, the numbers that you have will need to be recapitalized. If we're to experience an event today of 32 billion rand, we will come to the state and ask for assistance of recapitalization of 27.5 billion. So that this is what it indicates, but it excludes what would have received from reinsurers. So if we have, let's say, a catastrophic event that is not grid failure related, we have something like we had in July 2021, and it amounts to 32 billion, that 27 billion rand will become about 21.5 billion rands, because currently we do have a CAT cover for an amount of 5 billion rands. Next slide, please. So let's speak a little bit about reinsurance. Basically, we are seeing in the world that we are in what we call in the reinsurance world, you know, a hard market. Basically, what a hard market is that the people where we buy reinsurance from, their premiums are going up, and their premiums are going up because there is less supply. And there are various factors that drive that less supply. We anticipate that this hard cycle is going to last at least another 6 to 7 years. I've been in this industry, I've been working in the insurance industry since 1986. And normally a hard cycle, which is, you know, premiums going up and us struggling to get, you know, to get cover, they will normally last about 2 years. And then we get into a soft cycle again. But this one, there are many factors that are influencing it, that it will be a hard market for the foreseeable future. Next slide. So there are global events that are driving this particular things. Some are local. For instance, in a South African context, as I've said, you know, we have been reported globally. You can see there the cost was 1.9 billion rands. That's what we experienced. In the US, the George Floyd protest, where the police, violently killed Mr. George Floyd, those protests were $2 billion. In France, where we have the protests that were associated to, they were called the Yellow Vest Movement, where people were protesting around the changes in legislations relating to retirement, those losses were 1.1 billion. We've had demonstrations in Chile for $3 billion, economic losses in Colombia for $3 billion, and in Peru. Currently in France, members will have noticed that there was a young a boy who was killed also by the police. Those claims associated with just that in France are currently sitting at 750 million euros. So we are part of the global village. So those claims that are happening globally will eventually reflect in our premiums. So what is happening in the world that is affecting the reinsurance market? Number one, the developed world has had to deal with high inflation and high interest rates. High inflation means that a claim that will have cost you 100 million rand a year ago, this year, because of an inflation rate of 7%, it will cost you 107 million rands. So reinsurers in those markets, they haven't dealt with inflation like we are dealing with it in South Africa. So those claims costs were not reflected in the pricing. So the pricing is starting to go up. Interest rates, people who invest in reinsurance companies, because interest rates are going up in developed world, they rather keep their money in banks than giving to a reinsurance company for them to take more risk. Reinsurers have made losses. They want an improvement on their return on capital. The Russian-Ukraine losses, they're not quite quantified yet, but the aviation industry lost more than 200 times of what their premiums that they got because of the Russia-Ukraine losses. You will have seen the impact of climate change. We have seen it locally here. We are seeing high frequency of climate-related claims. Historical average will be sitting at $60 billion. Currently, over the last 3 years, that number is sitting at $110 billion. And then sadly, we are seeing a repeat of the sad events that are currently unfolding in the Middle East. So all these geopolitical issues eventually start reflecting on the pricing. Next slide. So this just shows you, you know, how capacity will become available and be reduced over a period of time, and how weather-related events and man-made events are contributing to this scenario that we are experiencing of a hard cycle. So we looked at what has been going on historically, and you can see really, you know, from 2017, you can start seeing that there is a higher frequency of weather-related events, and which means that reinsurers do not have time to replenish their reserves between events. So their only alternative is to increase insurance premiums. That is what we are experiencing at Sasria, and that's why we are asking for government support in a form of guarantee to cushion us against these various premium increases. Next slide. There are also country-specific issues. You know, our job as technocrats and as insurance people is basically, you know, to say what is it that's playing out. We must try and imagine what's the worst case scenario, and we plan for that high case scenario. South Africa currently globally, from an insurance point of view, it's a very difficult country to sell. Most reinsurers believe that the next catastrophic event after July 2021 is just waiting around the corner. So they are anticipating that it's going to happen sooner than later. We, in our planning, you know, think that it will not be as soon as they anticipate it to be. Some of the factors that are affecting, that are country specific now, in driving high reinsurance premiums, is the July 2021 event, the KZN floods, which were also very, very significant, $2 billion that was the insurance market will pay for the KZN. COVID related claims, especially in life, we saw the number of people that had insurance that paid, inflation, grey listing, unemployment, and. So those are the issues that are really affecting South Africa, which means that when the reinsurers look at us, they are saying, we need to charge these guys a higher premium because the risk is much higher. We think that the higher premiums are truly undeserved. There is an overreaction in the reinsurance market. Hence, again, we are asking, the state to intervene in by issuing us a guarantee. Next slide. We have to think about really ESCOM. I will not spend time on it. I'm sure the members are quite familiar what's going on. But what's happening is that we've gone through the winter without any grid failure. And I anticipate going forward that things are going to get better than worse. We'll still have load shedding with us, but generally, I anticipate that as we get to October, November, this lower demand driven by summer or hot temperatures, some of the generation capacity coming through late October, early November, the refurbishments of the nuclear facilities and so on, that ESCOM is going to get to a better place than it has been in the beginning of the year. So that is quite pleasing, but it's not what the economy needs. Economy needs 100% power availability all the time. Next slide. So now, what does this mean for Sasria? You can see that really our reinsurance costs have gone up. I mean, in 2021, 2022, we paid 130 million for 6.5 billion rands of cover. The following year, we've paid 111 million for 5.8 billion rands of cover. So you pay more, much, much more for less. This year, you might think that we paid less. We paid 363 million rands for 5.1 billion. But the trick this year that the reinsurers introduced, in the previous 2 years, Sasria will pay the first 1 billion rand of claim. So our excess was 1 billion rand. For 2023, 2024, that's why that amount is slightly lower than the year before, is because our excess has doubled to 2 billion rands. Next slide. Chair, I'm going to really speed up. We can go to the next slide because I am concerned about time. Oh, and then the presentation left. So can the members, can people still hear me? We're on the emerging risk slide.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Well.
Okay, thank you very much. Go to the, really the emerging risk, there are really three. Go up, Sister Azen. And then I'm going to really go fast with the other one. But I just want us to spend a little bit of time on the emerging risk. There are really three emerging risks, as Sister Daisy goes through the finds it that's it. Yeah, thanks, Sister Daisy. One is, locally and global risk reports. Basically, they show you the sort of risks that are faced by South Africa. So IMSA is looking at the risks faced by South Africa. So one is the failed state, failure of public infrastructure, looking at the national grid failure, the illicit economic activity, hence we got a gray list listed, the stagnant economy, large-scale disruption of digitally enabled services. The members will have experienced it from time to time. For instance, we had one of our departments of justice where they experienced a cyber attack. So that's what they are referring to. The impact of climate change, as you'll have seen in KZN, and more recently twice in the Western Cape. If the members, member of parliament and the treasury are busy deliberating as to whether they're going to continue the 350 per month grant or not. We know the role it's playing in the economy there. If it were to collapse and people do not get paid, what could potentially happen? The impact that employment is or unemployment is having, and geopolitical instability. But the main three, next slide. Really, the main three for us, we look at what could be the implication of state failure, what sort of protests would it lead to, and what are the likely amounts, and what should Sasria and how should Sasria respond? We've spoken about geopolitical instability. What's happening in the in Russia, Ukraine, what's happening in the Middle East, the tense relationships between the US and China, And all these things eventually affect us. But as we know, the other one is really extremely high youth unemployment. Now, we know how 1976 started. And if we were to look at some of the events that I mentioned that have happened globally, what they have in common is that the youth deciding to take matters into their own hands and change the trajectory of where the country is going, for better or for worse. So we are currently sitting with a time bomb of high youth unemployment. And I think SASRIA and private sector people and government, we should really be paying a lot of focus and start not talking about it, but finding solutions to this problem, because it's one thing that will definitely, you know, change many things in South Africa. Next slide. So here I've spoken about load shedding, so I will not say anything further. We do protest monitoring. We look at, you know, where the protests happening, what's the impact. We've got various sources where we get those from. Next one, please. Next slide. And basically, these busy graphs generally are just showing you, you know, the protests over the years and in which months do we tend to have higher protests. In future, you know, we would like to use this data to predict where the next protest is going to be. So that is what SASRIA we do, and we, as I said, we get this from various sources. These are service delivery protests, by the way. Next slide, please. On the people side, yeah, so there are various things that we are trying to do. You know, a company like SASRIA operates in the insurance space. We do find in certain areas that, you know, good talent is very, very scarce. And being a state-owned entity, we will not always have, in fact, we won't have the best remuneration in the industry. So we need to find exciting and interesting, innovative ways for us to attract and retain good talent. Often where we are going is that we are going to try and create our own or build our own timber. But because SASRIA handled the July 2021 claims so well, SASRIA people are well sought after in the industry. Because if you were to compare how SASRIA handled the July 2021 and the rest of the industry handling the COVID claims, definitely SASRIA people prove that they can respond very well to the challenge that they were faced with. Next slide. So we are busy building capacity as well to make sure that SASRIA will be able to handle a little bit more than 3,000 claims should a CAT event happen. So we are building various capacity within the company and developing the skills. Next slide. This shows you the headcount of the people and the diversity of the company. Next slide. Here we've had turnover of staff associated with a number of reasons. As I said, the first one is SASRIA people are well sought. SASRIA had made a loss, a big loss the year before. Some people were uncertain about the future, so we've had losses around that. Also, we've lost people, critical skills globally. Some have gone to London, and others have gone to Australia. And lastly, we've lost people because we are repositioning and reconfiguring and rechanging and rethinking the way that the company does things. So those are the key vacancies that we have, and we're showing you what actions are we taking to make sure that we replace those people. The next slide really shows our employment equity, and there we score high. We do not have any issues. We do not have any issues in that area. Next slide. Yeah, this is from a skills point of view, we got 19.33 out of 25, which is fairly good. Next slide. From a CSI point of view, Sasria really punches above its weight. We believe that we've got a role to play, and especially in addressing the risk that I've highlighted, which is the youth unemployment. We are in community upliftment projects. We have been associated with the developing the actuarial pool of South Africa over the years, and also developing the accounting pool over the years. So that's what we're doing at tertiary level. At lower levels, we have assisted children with maths and science revision programs. We have done some mitigation where we have built computer labs, ablution facilities, and a school library in various schools, and also invested in teacher development. Next one. I must highlight, early childhood as well. We just started with that, and also assisting 100 learners to participate in the UCT online schooling program for 3 years. We'll see how that goes. And yeah, and then Sasria does offer a bursary scheme. I'm sorry, members, I am going a little bit faster. Looking ahead, really, this is, how do I put this? Yeah, we are early on. Sasria is coming to the end of its 5 year strategy, which started in 1919. It will end in March 2024. Currently, we are in a journey of, as I said, rethinking and repositioning Sasria. And the first 2 years, really, after July 2021, our focus has been to restore Sasria. We've done great work in that particular area. The only areas that we still have shortcomings, and they've got various dependencies, is we want to reintroduce wrap cover. So that is where we provide customers with cover above the 500 million rand. We threw that. We are going to be doing the municipal awards this year. So where we're going to be recognizing municipalities that are meeting the needs of their communities. So we have partnered with the private sector organizations. We've got SALGA participating in it, where we're going to try and improve better management within municipalities. That's what we want to drive with this particular award. And we are investing in predictive analytics and so on. So those steps show you the journey that we're going to be going through now in October, next week, Tuesday and Wednesday. We are sitting with the board where they will consider various in a workshop where we'll be considering where should Sasria be going, and that will be approved by the board May 2023 and submitted to the shareholder in next year, January. And that will give you a taste of what Sasria will be doing in the next 5 years. There are measures that we are taking to lower our claims, where we are looking at building more intelligence capability, better engagement with the security cluster, and partnering with various private sector bodies, either to do our CSI projects or improve the risk and overall improve the economy of the country. Next slide. Next slide, please. Yeah, oh, okay. Sorry, go back to stage. Yeah, I think what's important in this particular slide is the last point is that we have currently government is a shareholder in Sasria. It's got duties and responsibilities like any other shareholder. We would like the government through National Treasury to give us a that they accept that an explicit guarantee which states that they are a reinsurer of the last resort. They everywhere in the world, whether you look at the French company called CCR, that company was formed in 1941, just after World War II. It has got the guarantee of the state. You can look at CCS, which is in Spain, 1941, where if you insure terrorism risk, you do get a government guarantee. And in the UK, you've got a company called Poolry, which was established in 1993. It also has a government guarantee. And Sazia used to have a government guarantee before, and it came to an end. My apologies. It came to an end because of the conversion of Sazria Act. So I would like to stop there. It's 11:02. And yeah, and we will take any questions that the honorable members might have. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much for the presentations. When I look at the time, no, it was on the spot. Now I'm going to request the members for questions, comments, and clarity seeking. Honorable members, there is the presentation. Then you can, now it's time for you to can question or maybe comment or clarity seeking. Over to you, members.
Yes, Chair. I've got Mr. Raita, Mr. Tutoit, Mr. Moletsane, and Ms. Mahlangu.
Okay. Honorable Raita.
Good morning, Chair. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Thanks for the presentation.
Honorable Moletsane, okay. Thank you very much. Okay, you can proceed.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I have a number of questions, please. So, looking at the presentation, yeah, a lot of questions to come out of it. I want to talk about the reinsurance aspect and the fact that you have indicated the hard market that we're in, and of course the fact that yes, South Africa is a very hard sell based on
I don't know if I'm the only one. I can't hear the honorable member right there.
So the question then, obviously, when reinsurance becomes expensive, premiums tend to go up. How much have you put up your premiums? Thank you very much. So yes, how much have you increased premiums going forward? That's question one. Question two relates to municipalities as clients. Have you been marketing yourselves to municipalities? Are municipalities permitted to take out insurance through Sasria and you know, in order to protect their assets? So I'm thinking of the many municipalities that see their assets being vandalized and attacked during protest actions. If you can tell us a little bit about that. Then outstanding claims from July 2021. Are there still many outstanding claims? Perhaps you can just give us a little bit of a reason for that and let us know what if there's any backlog there. Emanating out of 2021, did you see a big increase in uptake? Did you see many new customers coming to Sasria? Because as you say, I think Sasria provided a very necessary service and processed it quite efficiently. So have you seen a big uptake from people that were not previously clients coming in? You mentioned floods, which surprised me a little bit because I didn't believe that floods were part of your mandate dealing with floods. If you can then just tell me, what is your outstanding liability in terms of the floods that we saw in KwaZulu-Natal and, of course, Western Cape? Yeah, if you can just tell us what those issues relate to and how that falls in your mandate and what the outstanding liabilities are for the floods that we've seen. Then second last question, Chair, the state guarantee. Now, I note that before 1998, there was an unlimited guarantee that was then reduced down to R1 billion. You say now that there's no guarantee. What amount are you looking for? And yeah, I must be honest, I have to question the ethics around having an unlimited state guarantee for an insurance company, which may be favoring the advantaged. But that would obviously be a policy discussion for me to take up and investigate further. But yeah, if you can just tell us what is the amount of the guarantee, the state guarantee, that you would like, and then what's the bare minimum that you feel that you would be comfortable with? And the last question relates to these municipal awards. I don't see that as part of your mandate. Can you tell me what that's going to cost? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Ryder. Honorable Detroit.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, I just want to thank Sasra for the presentation. It was really insightful. I've been partially covered. A few things, however, Sasra mentioned that they want to get the state guarantee, as Honorable Ryder indicated. I want to know if Sasra has been in communication with National Treasury with regards to this, and if yes, what was Treasury's response? Are they open for discussion? Is there something in the pipeline that we can know about or that we can be informed about? And then Sasra said that youth unemployment is a ticking time bomb. We know that it is a great concern at this stage. And we see that violent protest action is definitely escalating in the country. I want to know, they said that there is a possibility of 1 to 6 years for this whole thing to go south. Now, obviously, the protest actions isn't scheduled anyway. We cannot look it up in a diary and see when is going to happen. But what other indicators does Sajria have that might be able to assist us to try and prevent this whole thing from escalating? And also, with the many information streams that Sasra has, and I'm going to refer specifically to the Eskom and the total grid failure and grid collapse, it was mentioned quite a few times in the Sasra's presentation that a total blackout will definitely have tremendous effect on the economy as well as social unrest in the country. In spite of the fact that Sasra indicated that from October we might see a slight stabilization in the system, are there any other indicators that that points to the fact that this grid collapse might take place sooner than later? I think it was 2 or 3 months ago, or stand to be corrected, when the Minister of Electricity presented at the National Council of Provinces, and he indicated that a grid collapse could take place, but not on the generation side, but rather on the distribution side. So if we could maybe have a little bit more information on that. Sasra indicated that the amount of funds that were gained over a 42-year period was depleted in 10 days, and that obviously you need to replenish your funds. What amount of time are you looking at getting to an average of, say, 35 billion or 40 billion for that matter to have funds available should another disastrous protest action take place in the country, if you can maybe get some guidance in that matter. Thank you, Chair.
Can I come in, Chair?
I don't know whether Honorable Detroit. Okay, Honorable Mletsane.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me acknowledge the presentation. And I'm partly covered by the previous colleagues on some of the questions. I just want to add on one question that was touched by Honorable Ryder on the issue of the July 2021 unrest. I just want to check whether when are they intending to finish paying the remaining claims? Because I want to believe that it is long overdue. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Letsani. Honorable Mahlangu, After Honorable Shangu, Honorable Moss, Linda Moss. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me join my honorable members, my colleagues, by welcoming the presentation. I think it's not for the first time as Finance Committee's meeting with the SASRA. I think members have covered me because I wanted to go into the extent of the mandate of the of SASRA. My first question will be that to add on what Honorable Muletsane have said, to say we have been having engagements in as far as your interventions in the disasters, the unrest that has happened in Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal. I think my expectation coming here now was the update in as far as the payments are concerned. But what really concerns me, I'm not sure about the legislation that is governing SASRIA, because according to the presentation, this is something that happened years, years, and years, and years back. But maybe there has been improvement. You did mention that what has happened so far in as far as strengthening the legislation. But then my question goes to the changes from the pre-1994, you said 1989 or something, after 1994 to democracy, pre and post. Is this still relevant? But then you have given us an idea as to what was the intention or the mandate of SASRIA then, and now the mandate is different. But having said that, Honorable Chairperson, you'll assist me because I have lost connectivity during the course of the presentation. And help me if I misunderstood you. Do you have, SASRIA, any source of income? Like, how do you source your revenue? Do you rely solely on the state, as you said, that it is 100% state-owned entity? Because my concern is looking also at our the state of our economy. It might be maybe some problematic to always put in money, but there's nothing for you to survive. And this now triggers something in me to want to know the organogram in as far as the entity is concerned. Who is working here? The demographics. How much are we spending in as far as the human personnel is concerned? The personnel is concerned. So it's a bit tricky for me to say, do you only receive money, 100% rely on the state, or you have a way of sourcing your revenue or raising your revenue? My next question is on the benefits, the business versus the citizens. I appreciate and understand, it's not for the first time, like I said, that you have updated us, that you have made interventions. Like you, the slide where you have shown the malls which were destroyed and all that, you have made interventions. But then your mandate, the focus of your mandate, is it only on business or can citizens also benefit? How do you assist or intervene in as far as individual challenges are concerned? If a business owner as an individual has a problem with an insurance company, can the business owner or that individual come to you for an assistance, and what kind of assistant is available for such people? Thank you very much. I've been covered on the others. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Moss.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I also want to allude on the good presentation. Chairperson, my issue is about can the entity clarify the issue of payments be done twice and was fruitless in fruitless and waste expenses? Can we get clarity on that one? On the issue of the PFMA three late submissions, can we all get clarity on that one? All of us in South Africa talking about youth unemployment and high risk. And I see one of the slides talk about unemployment under the youth of 16 till 23. I know people who are 16 cannot work according to the labor law. So that I'm a little bit not satisfied with that one, that point that they made there, because youth of 60 cannot be working in the Labor Relations Act. The issue of South Africa public infrastructure, I just want to know, did the entity also cover for that? Because public infrastructure, particularly the municipalities one, is really, really in a high risk in South Africa. If I'm listening yesterday about Eskom and also about Transnet, it's a very, very, very big challenge for South Africa government. Chairperson, the last point I want to raise is on the issue that my chairperson already mentioned, is the issue of the organic rim, because that's the presentation not speaking clearly on the issue of the labor market in the entity and the organic rim. If we can get clarity on it, if they cannot give it us today, but if they can also send it to the committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Moss. I think most of the members did raise the questions, and maybe over to you for responding to the questions of the members, please. I can't remember the name, but if you can Bumi, respond, Honorable. Come again.
The name is Mpumi Chikwe.
Okay. Please, sorry for.
Must I start, Honorable Chair?
Yes.
Thank you to Honorable Chair, and thank you to the Honorable Members for the intriguing questions. And I'll appeal to the Committee Secretary and my colleagues, if I miss a question, then they just remind me to answer it. I did try as the members to take note of all the various questions. So let me start with the first one on the organogram, who is employed in Sazria. We will gladly share that with the committee. We'll definitely send that. As I said in the presentation, we employ just about 123 employees, and we've shown the gender split amongst that and the employment equity. So it is in the presentation, but the organogram will obviously show the members as to the various levels within within the entity. The second question I want to deal with quickly is around the municipalities and their insurance. Members will know, in terms of the Municipal Act, as amended, in fact, municipalities are one organ of state where they are compelled by law to take insurance for their assets. So because, as members will appreciate, municipalities should not find themselves in financial difficulties. They should be running budget neutral expenses and so on. So insurance is an integral part of that legislation. When they buy conventional insurance, normally the insurance broker they appoint will also buy a Sazria cover for them. So they will quote Sazria insurance premiums as well. So municipalities are covered, and we do pay claims where it's protest related. Municipalities will have had claims on the flood and so on. Yeah. And insofar as the unemployment rate, what we are really saying, I think the members should look at the message, or at the message in that, basically, if you analyze what goes on in the world and also in South Africa, what makes people discontent and what makes people protest, the relationship between protest and damage is not always 100%, that if there's a protest, like we showed you in the graphs there, it means there'll be damages. But some protests lead to damages. And one of the triggers of protests, as we have seen in South Africa, is the fact that people are unemployed. So, and we tend to look at the youth, in the loose definition. In certain instances, we look at up to the age of 35. That if you've got a high percentage of those people in that age group, up to the age of 35 unemployed, it is likely, as we have seen, that your protests or in events of looting will tend to be higher. So that is really the point that we are trying to make there. And insofar as the late PFMA submission, as I had showed in the presentation to members, in July 2021, Sazria experienced an unprecedented number of claims. We dealt with 10 times more, in terms of the number of claims that we had and that we normally used to. So we had to outsource some of the claims handling. And what happened during that outsourcing of claims, an invoice will come to Sazria and then it will go to the insurance company where the client originally took the cover, and then will pay the clients twice for the same claim. We have identified all those claims, and we have successfully recovered most of the money. In the presentation, we do give detail, and we can, through the committee secretary, give members an update insofar as that is concerned. So the PFMA late submissions was, in fact, the submissions of the annual financial statements. We did that late. We didn't meet the various targets that were set out, because the auditing was a bit more intense given the scale of the issue that we had to deal with. Sasria is an insurance company owned by the state. I'm dealing with the questions about benefits and versus citizens. So any member of the public who has got a property that they want to insure, they are welcome to take a Sasria policy. Generally, all the members, I'm pretty sure, have got some form of property, you know, either a residential home or a car or something. If you have taken insurance in that car, your broker or your insurance company would have also sold you a Sasria cover. Sasria is the only company that can give you cover for the four perils that I mentioned at the beginning of the presentation. The four perils being, if the damage is due to political motivated protests, non-political labor unrest, or should South Africa experience a terrorist attack. Those are the only four things in our current mandate and our current legislation that we are allowed to insure. We do not insure flooding. We are raising the issue of flooding in the context of the fact that insurance companies that are owned by the states globally, and Sasria is not unique in that way, there are risks that private sector insurance companies do not want to take. And the state then intervenes because the market is failing, as we have seen the South African government intervene in certain spaces of the economy where there is market failure. One of the things that South African companies, and in particular state-owned entities, they are struggling to get cover for flooding. So if we were to look at the risks that we are faced with as a country, which would be different from a country like Australia, where they have to deal with issues of like cyclones. In South Africa, flooding is one, and members will have seen this play out in KwaZulu-Natal and in the Western Cape. And insurance is an effective way to manage that risk of flooding. It's proven many times that where clients have got insurance, they recover faster economically than where consumers do not have access to insurance. So in short, anyone can take the Sasria. People, the money, Sasria is not dependent on government, except under special circumstances, because the government is the shareholder in the business. So we've been in establishment from 1979, and during that period, Sasria has only received assistance from the state once, which was because of the July 2021 event. And as we know, the July 2021 event got exacerbated by the fact that the various things that were supposed to have happened to lower that risk didn't happen. So Sasria is not dependent on that. And as I have said in my previous, in the slides and so on, is that we have up to before July 2021 paid to the state dividends and taxes to the tune of 16 billion rands. So that is the current situation. Insofar as the relevance of Sasria, I think the events of July 2021 showed how relevant South Africa Sasria is to the South African economy. I think the members should try and consider what would have happened if Sasria didn't exist and people made losses of close to 32 billion rands. You look at the number of jobs, there are certain jobs that are never going to come back to South Africa because of the July 2021 event. There are foreign investors who, after the protest, we paid them. Remember, they paid premiums to us. We issued them with an insurance policy. And out of that insurance policy, we must respond and pay them when they have a claim. and they can do with that money as they wish. Some took the money and said, we are no longer going to be reinvesting in South Africa. So thousands of jobs were lost. So what I'm trying to show is that SASRIA is even more relevant now. And if you were to see, look at the graphs of the protests that I've shown you and the damage that follows those protests, SASRIA remains as relevant as it was during the apartheid period. The only disaster currently that we are designed to cover is, I just want to repeat, it's labor unrest, it's terrorism, or political or non-political protest, and nothing else. Anything other than that will require a change in legislation. Insofar as the July 2021 claims are concerned, we have showed that we have paid 97% of those claims. Only 3% remain unpaid. And the reason that they are unpaid, there is a claim, for instance, for 350 million rand there, which was subject to a legal dispute, which we have subsequently finalized, and so on. So as those people go through the courts, you know, then we'll have to wait for the legal dispute to be settled. And if you were to compare that, we dealt with 17,500 claims. Claims that are under legal disputes are 5 to 6. And those claims, it's so that the amounts involved are significant. These are not small business claims. Small business claims, as we show in the table that we shared with the members, we've already paid 98% of those particular claims. In others, there is where the client has decided, no, actually, he didn't suffer the damage he thought he had suffered. Some, maybe there could be outstanding documents. But if you look in the context of the amount that we had to deal with, the number of claims, for us to have paid 97%, by any standard in the world, it's a very, very good result. Now let me deal with the questions associated with the grid collapse and so on. What you are saying there is this, is that basically grid collapse is the probability of it happening through the various analysis that we have done ourselves, independent of what government is doing, independent of what ESCOM is doing, and also consulting other experts, energy experts outside ESCOM, is that the probability of a grid collapse is very, very, very remote. So it does not worry us at all. So I just want to put that on record. As I had said earlier on, we do monitor load shedding as well. I've shared with members significant claims that we've had. Load shedding does not feature in that. So even load shedding related protests are not translating into claims. So we are not in a position where we are worried about grid failure. Yes, there are some concerns that actually, if you look globally, where grid failure has happened, it has tended to be actually a transmission problem than a generation problem. Hence, we are looking at what government is doing as it separates the transmission business from ESCOM and looking at private and public participation in investing in the transmission capabilities of the country. Those will be looking at extensively. And if there is something that worries SASRIA, we will definitely share that with the members in future presentation. Insofar as what other indicators do we look at? We look at multitudes of indicators, as the members would have seen. And there was a question as, you know, when is the next event going to happen? Yes, the honorable member is quite correct. You know, protests do not have a diary time. We do not know what's going to trigger the next one. But there are certain things that we are looking at to say, okay, this could be a trigger. unemployment is one of them. If we were to have, if you look at the service-related protests and then their nature, you know, is it likely to trigger that? So we're looking at all these things, social grants. You look at the taxi situation in the Western Cape, which was triggered by something totally different and so on, where the municipality was exercising the law and says, you know, taxes must comply with the law. It came from another CAF board. But if we had looked at the loss ratio numbers, what history tells us, when there's been a significant event like July 2021 in the world, where it's man-made, okay, not catastrophes where they are not man-made, where it's man-made, there is a time lag before the next big one happens. You'll have seen it in the SARS-RIA graphs. Like there would be years where we have a low loss ratios and then we tick up and then yes. So that's what history informs us. But also what history informs us, members would know, there're gonna be elections in South Africa next year. So we monitor what's gonna happen with the elections as well. There's gonna be elections that are gonna happen. Historically, loss ratios associated with an election year are low. They are in the vicinity of 25%. As I said, the magic number is 55. If we are below 55, we are in the money. So 25% loss ratio means that SARS-RIA will be no. So for the election year, that's why we're not worried which will be next financial year. And then there's a honeymoon period after that. And then thereafter, I cannot tell you what's going to happen. But as management, our focus though is to make sure that should another event like July 2021 happen, that SARS-RIA has put things in place to respond even better than the good response they have done, that we have done during the July 2021 event. So there's a multitude of indicators. We are still building those dashboards. We are investing in predictive analytics and so on, and we will be able to do, to focus it. But man-made disasters are very, very, very difficult and actually almost impossible to predict. And that's why globally, not just in South Africa, that perils of this nature are guaranteed by the state. So if you look at the US, you look at Australia, you look at France, you look anywhere in the world, in fact, in other governments, what they do is that the company like SARS-RIA becomes a department within the state. So that's what they do. But for SARS-RIA to be able to get insurance premiums, it has to be established outside the state. And as I said earlier on, we were formed in 1979. We are one of the earliest insurance companies of this nature to be formed in the world. So SARS-RIA is definitely a market leader when it comes to providing cover for terrorism, protests, and labor unrest. We are a very unique and innovative company insofar as that is concerned. And these come, you do this because the state has to create an enabling environment. Basically, you want people to come and invest in South Africa and set up motor plants, set up pharmaceutical companies. You want South African companies to invest in South Africa so that they can build infrastructure, they can build their factories and so on. You also want to give them comfort as the state that should a protest happen and things go wrong, they must pay an insurance premium which will respond should that particular event happen. So it is actually a good thing for the economy insofar as economic growth and a very cheap way of creating jobs. Yes, we have increased premiums. We did increase premiums from 1 year to the other. Those premiums went up by 47%. Members will have seen how our reinsurance premiums grew, the cost. That cost grew up by 600%. So, and we've only increased our premiums by 47%. And in following years, we will not have such a high jump. We do not anticipate that our premium increases will go up by more than 15% year on year. And there's one big if, and that big if is that there is no significant event that affects South Africa. We want to build reserves up to 30 billion rand. We have been engaging with Treasury on that. There are ongoing discussions with Treasury on that. And I'm sure at an appropriate time, Treasury will give the necessary report. And the 30 billion rand is informed by the fact that as Sasria, we've already experienced a loss of 31 billion. The thinking around it is that as we get the premiums, pay some of the claims and our costs, and we build our reserves, the 12 billion rands of own funds that you saw in that graph, we anticipate over a period of between 6 to 8 years, assuming that the loss ratios that we have are at a certain level, let's call that level 35%, then by year 8, we would have funds under own management sitting at 30 billion rand. And then at that time, then the state could consider not providing us with a guarantee. But right now, given where we are and where South Africa is and how reinsurers view South Africa, it is critical for us to have this so that we can encourage investment in the South African economy, which I am sure all the members here would want to see that will see that happen. In other countries in the world, the guarantee, if you were to look at Pulri, it gets an unlimited guarantee for terrorism events in the UK. It's unlimited. The French reinsurer it also gets an unlimited guarantee from from the state, which demonstrates, in my view, that this is the best practice. Let me touch a little bit about the municipal awards. What do we look at in terms of our mandate? We have got a responsibility not just to accept the risk. So we insure municipalities. They pay us an insurance premium. We are seeing these protests manifesting, and those protests, as members, I think, will agree with us, is that if you were to look at the various municipalities and so on, you can say, here are indicators of good governance. How much is the municipality investing in, for instance, in infrastructure? How much is the municipality investing in what percentage of salaries goes to that and that and that? But in essence, what we are trying to encourage is good governance. And this is not just a Sasria initiative. It's an industry initiative. So you'll have seen Outsurance having pointsmen, which alleviate traffic during peak hour and load shedding. You'll have seen other insurance companies, Discovery and Outsurance and the Teleshop Group, filling up potholes on the road because they don't want to have tires of the cars they're insuring to pass. You'll have seen in our other partnership with Santam, where Santam basically is looking at where we intervene in various communities when we build community halls so that the young people will have something else to keep them busy as opposed to them protesting. And Santam is also involved in improving not just governance, but also fire brigade services within municipalities. Because as insurance companies, if there is a fire, you want your fire brigade to respond. If it doesn't, it means your loss will be bigger. So members should look at these municipal awards in that context. And the amount involved is not significant. But it's currently the sponsorship is 250,000 rand. That's what it's sitting at. So if you look at what we are paying in claims in protests, and if you are looking at the premium contribution and so on, I think it's a worthy investment to try and improve governance in municipalities. And it does fall within our mandate. We are not only funded, the other things that we have done to improve our financial viability. It's not just premium increases. For instance, we used to pay our agents commission. So every time you buy an insurance policy, you pay someone commission and administration costs. For Sazia, that cost was 27.5% year on year. We have reduced that to 22.5%. So which means we're going to be saving in future at least 5% of our premiums. So if you were to compute 5% of 4.6 billion, you can see the scale of the amount of money that we are reinvesting. We are keeping Sazria costs very low. We are keeping them at a maximum of 7% of our GWP. So we want to make sure we run the company very lean and mean and efficient, and we still deliver on our mandate. So that's the second thing that we are doing. We are looking at how to trim our reinsurance costs as well. And next year, we'll be coming up with other ideas to lower these reinsurance costs. So premiums is not just the one way. There are other things that we are doing. And we are also looking at how we can improve our investment income returns without and still have a good, and not introduce high volatility. That's what I'm trying to get at. There is a reward risk equation when it comes to investments, and we need to make sure that Sazria does not lose capital in chasing a good returns. So there are other things that you are doing to make sure that we become a very, very, very sustainable. I think with that, I have, going through my notes, touched on most of the questions that have been asked by members. If I have missed something, I'll be happy that the company's, not the company secretary, my apologies, the committee secretary, or the members, or any of my colleagues can remind me. I thank you for giving me this opportunity to respond to you.
Thanks, Bumit, for responding to all questions raised by honorable members. I see there's a chat from honorable Brider. I couldn't read it. You wanted to say something?
No, Jay. The first one was a question, which was then subsequently answered. And the next one is just to say, well done. I think the questions were handled well. I don't necessarily agree with all of the answers, but well done.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Ryder. There's a chat from, is it from Gumed?
Yes, I think the question, Madam Chair, is about terrorism.
Okay, let me give you 2 minutes.
So I'm unable to see the chat, Honorable Chair. If the member can... or someone read the, I did see terrorism pop up in my screen and then disappear.
The question was to unpack a bit more on terrorism.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Honorable Member. Basically, Sazria does provide cover for terrorism. If you were to look post-democracy, you will see there have been some very limited terrorist attacks on South Africa. People, I don't know, would recall the Phagat incidents and so on, where they ended up being characterized as some form of terrorism. Plus, you know, there were some people, I forget, that were bombing, doing, I forget, Buremach, I think that's what was the term. Apologies if I've got it wrong. Where they were bombing certain infrastructures close or in the townships, those people were subsequently arrested. So those are the sort of terrorism attacks that SASRIA would cover. And fortunately for South Africa, as I said, post 1994, attainment of freedom. Please, I'm not characterizing anything that happened before 1994 as terrorism. But what I'm saying is that if you were to look after 1994, what has happened in South Africa, generally it's been fairly quiet in that front. Our national intelligence has had some successes, and we have seen various collaborations amongst the intelligence services that operate in South Africa as well, either, you know, underground or above board. And yeah, so the terrorism risk is quite well managed. But just like, you know, any other man-made thing, you never know when there will be a single person who has got a grudge of some sort, decides to do something stupid. So that's what it's there for. Thank you.
Okay, once more, thank you very much for the response from the question that were raised by honorable members. I think members, because we had one item, I don't know whether we are correcting or what, but before I can, Nkululeko? Nkululeko? Honorable members, we did, we still have one item that we're supposed to, of the report that is supposed to be adopted. Now I just wanted to find out as to whether are we correcting or what. Because that's why I'm calling on Nkululeko to tell us as to whether we are correcting to proceed to the item of the report, so that we can adopt the report.
Madam Chair,
I don't know whether Nkululeko still.
No, Madam Chair, it's Mpumi Chiko again. Will it be wise for us to step out of the meeting now? Are you willing to release us from your meeting?
Yes.
Thank you, ma'am.
Sorry for that. Yes, we can release you.
Thank you, ma'am, and thank you to the honorable members, and thank you to my board members who accompanied us in this meeting. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm ma'am.
Nkululeko?
Yes, Chair.
I just want to find out as to whether we are correcting so that we can proceed with the. Come again?
We do correct.
We do.
Like the minute.
Oh, we do correct.
The report.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So if you can fly the report so that we can proceed.
Can you see it on your side, Chair?
Yes, I do.
I don't know whether should I scroll down to recommendations.
Yes, please.
Okay.
Honorable members, here is the report, the draft report that is supposed to adopt it. I think if you can start with the observations. There you are, honorable members. On the observations, committee observations. And scroll up. Those are observations. Up. Then item number 7, which is committee recommendations. Up.
That's the end of it, Chair.
That's the end of the, yeah. And conclusion. That's the report, honorable members. The report to be considered. Is there any mover for the report to be considered? Any mover?
I move, Chair.
Honorable members, any mover?
Nita, I move, Chair.
Honorable Nita, you move. Any seconder?
Mahlangu. I second, Chair. Mahlangu.
Honorable Mahlangu. Okay, Honorable Mahlangu seconded. Okay. Honorable Mulezani?
Chairperson, just note the EFF doesn't support.
Okay, the EFF doesn't support. Is there another hand?
No, Chair. I am noting that Mr. Ryder and Mr. Tutoit have left the platform. Not to show you. That
okay. Connection.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. Which means the report has been adopted and seconded. So,
yes,
are you saying something, Nkuleko?
No, I was just saying we are done with the report, ma'am.
Okay. So we are done with the report. So this concludes our meeting, today's meeting at 11:50 at 12 o'clock. I'd like to thank you all members. I'd like to thank you all. Can you hear me?
We hear you,
can you hear me, members?
Yes, Chair, we can hear you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, Chair, we can hear you. Okay, thank you.
All right. So we are going to meet at the chamber now. Let's go to the chamber. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. You have made my day.
Long live the chair.
Viva chair. Malibongwe.
Thank you.
Viva chair. Malibongwe.
Nyabonga.